in, everyone, to a fabulous new Whisper in the Wings from Stage Whisper. We're bringing you an incredible show today, a very timely, very important show written by a wonderful artist who's joining us, actually. We have the playwright Mara Haney, who's here to talk about her work, The Poisoner, playing April 6th through the 21st at La Mama Theater. You can get your tickets and more information by visiting lamama.org. As we mentioned, the subject of this piece is so, so important, and we are so honored to get to share that with you. So without further ado, let's just go ahead and jump in and welcome our guest. Mara, welcome to Whisper in the Wings from Stage Whisper.
Thank you. I'm psyched to be here.
I'm so excited that you're here, and we get to talk about your new work, The Poisoner. This piece, the minute I got the press release, I was like, yes, 1,000 times. How can we make this happen? Because I feel like anyone and everyone needs to know about it. So why don't we start by having you tell us a little bit about what The Poisoner is about?
Yeah, The Poisoner is, I think of it as kind of the Chinatown of the modern day, in the sense that it sort of is telling this story about a bigger political environment in the Midwest, in Michigan, and how a journalist returns home and uncovers this kind of horrific crime, and with the sort of neo-noir, but modern neo-noir feeling.
So, so cool. I love it. So where did you get the inspiration or come up with the idea to create this work?
Well, I'm from the Midwest. I was born in Kentucky. I grew up in Michigan. And when the Flint water crisis happened, I had family in the area, including really young nieces who were kind of at a vulnerable age. And like many people, the damage that happened to children was really moving to me. So I think it's also just kind of I grew up in a family that I was born in the 70s. I grew up in Michigan in the 80s and the 90s. And I really saw the environment in Michigan change from being kind of a very union blue state type of place where workers were honored and the unions were respected and the kind of working class values were held, to a place where, in the 80s, a lot of car companies were going under, losing money. Unions were becoming more corrupt and or were going under. People were losing their jobs. And why I bring that up is that the shift that happened in Michigan over that 30, 40 year period created this really toxic environment where the civic leadership decided effectively that they should control how government decisions were made. And so the Republican governor at this time, and this is not really a Democrat versus Republican story, it's just a story about kind of when politics gets corrupt, when government gets corrupt, which can happen on both sides of the table. But it talks about, or the story is sort of based in this environment which saw unions fail, which saw, workers get dissatisfied and angry, and it created this body politic in the sort of Greek drama sense, the sort of angry body politic, which created leadership that allowed themselves to take over cities, including 7 different cities in Michigan. And one of them was Flint. And so the water, to me, the whole notion of this public health crisis is grounded in the environment that allowed a non-elected official, the emergency manager appointed by the governor, to take over the city, take over the water supply, and try to quote unquote save money by changing the water supply from a very stable water supply, basically piped in from Lake Huron, near where I'm from, to a very unstable river that hadn't been used since 1967 in Flint. And so to me, the human story is really moving. And I think beyond the human story, the kind of bigger political story, the kind of story of how government functions was really important to tell.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Now, is this the world premiere of the show coming up at La Mama?
Well, we're calling this a workshop production in the sense that it's not really a, we haven't had the time and it's a very short run. So I think of it more like a kind of elevated, kind of very high quality workshop production. And, you know, and therein lies the kind of 3 week run and the kind of shorter period. But, you know, ultimately we would love to premiere it in New York if we can.
Amazing. So then what has it been like developing The Poisoner, particularly this iteration coming up at La Mama?
Well, first of all, La Mama is a great seedbed for ideas. You know, they have a long history of shepherding playwrights like Sam Shepard and, you know, other kind of great storytelling since the 60s, 50s, 60s, and 70s. So I've loved working with La Mama. They're very fun. They're very gritty. You know, they're always trying to do things for actors and professionals in theater. They're very focused on the kind of community of theater, which has been great. And then as a writer, I think I was very lucky to have Lee Sunday Evans, who's the director, accept the project to work with me. She's really magical. And why, you know, she has I don't know how many plays she's done, but she's won 2 Obie Awards. She really understands drama. And I think making this something that sort of like back to the beginning, I sort of talked about the Chinatown of, you know, modern day water politics. She's really helped, you know, had, you know, focus the dramatic sense of what happened in this place and this journalist experience in a way that's really powerful. It's a 90-minute piece. So sort of 90-minute power packed, you know, very like it has sort of resonance around films, around kind of like a film production. So, but it's better because it's theater. So
that is fabulous. I love it. So with the subject matter you're dealing with all of this happening around, you know, is there a message or a thought you hope audiences take away from the piece?
Yeah, I think who is the poisoner? You know, is it me? Is it you? Like, what are we all doing or not doing in our communities that's allowing things to happen that are unfair or that help, you know, hurt the vulnerable more than they hurt others? I mean, the big issue in Flint, but it's true in many other cities where there's been water crises, including Newark, including Jackson, including, you know, many, many, there's dozens. And there's been an interesting set of stories around the post-Flint, you know, people realizing how much our infrastructure had deteriorated. But, you know, if this happened, as we say in the play, if this happened in Grosse Pointe, no one would be, you know, there would never be 18 months of people being angry about, you know, lead in their water. So part of what happens is the vulnerable are, you know, affected more. So I'd love people to come out of the play thinking, you know, how can I be more engaged in my community? Just elevating stories that are also kind of technical. I come from a technical background, and I feel like I like stories that involve complex technical questions. And actually, it's a very technical story. It's a very interesting, complicated story about how the water plant was managed, about, you know, all these sort of what we consider bureaucratic decisions that have these profound physical impacts, and the way money is, you know, you know, the way money is valued. You know, for $100 a day, the Flint water crisis could have not happened, and a decision was made to not, you know, spend that money. And I think we can be really, when we let quote unquote business people run our country, you know, who don't have experience in actually working in communities, then you can make decisions that you think will save a dollar, but will end up A, costing billions to repair, and B, costing hundreds of lives. So I think, you know, we don't want to be like, you get to be on, you don't have to just swing all the way to one side of the pendulum or the other. I'm not against all conservative values, but I think the high focus on money in our society means that we take shortcuts. And that's what happened in Flint. And the story is actually about a mythological city called Mac City, to sort of de-identify it from only being about Michigan and Flint. And it's a, you know, and it's a drama, it's a narrative piece. It's not, it's based on the Flint story, but it's, you know, largely fictional.
Fabulous. Great, great ideas being communicated with this work. I love it. And it leads to my final question for this first part, which is, who do you hope have access to the poisoner?
My biggest hope is that the poisoner is in high school. And I would love for everyone who, you know, is in New York to have access to it. But ultimately, what I would really love is if the play can get put on across America in schools, in part to let students kind of take these roles on, and take roles on that are relatively modern, that kind of, they obviously deal with themes that are, in some cases, Shakespearean themes, or themes that are, you know, like Greek tragic sort of themes as a tragedy, but it is set in a modern day. And so I'm, you know, I'm hopeful that students can put on the piece. And it would be great if administrators, you know, were able to watch the piece. And I hope that it provides a balanced view of kind of the good people and the bad people. I think that a lot of times we all like to center on, you know, certain groups as being the one that cause these things. But I think for me, it's not really necessarily a group, it's an ideology. It's a certain American ideology of business and money first and kind of human second. So yeah, I hope students will put it on.
The second part of our interviews, we'd love to give our listeners a chance to get to know our guests a little bit more, pick your brain, if you will. And I want to start with our perennial question, which is, what or who inspires you? What playwrights, composers, or shows have inspired you in the past, or are just some of your favorites?
Well, I definitely would put Chinatown at the top, probably my favorite film and like my favorite sort of style of storytelling, the notion of the kind of detective story, but set in a world that, you know, that's more political. I sort of love noir thriller type storytelling. I love science fiction. That's just sort of my personal thing. I'm into science fiction stories, pretty much any kind of science fiction. And I think there is a little bit of a, you know, Andromeda strain kind of element to this type of storytelling, because there are these questions about exactly what happened in the water, what was the bacteria that was released, you know, how did it happen, and, you know, the sort of nitty-gritty scientific story. Yeah, I feel like I'm drawing a blank right now. I mean, there's a lot of different plays I love. There was one, this play was designed for four actors, and that was partly inspired by a couple small pieces done on off-Broadway. There was this one piece called The Ghost Quartet. I don't know if you ever saw that. It was a musical, but it was a really cool small musical done by four actors and in a very sort of like sparse environment. And that was an inspiration to me. I'm a musician by training, so I grew up playing the violin, and I initially wrote this as a little mini opera. And it sort of evolved into a neo-noir thriller. But the development of it was, you know, I've probably been rewritten with the help of Lee's development help a lot over the last year and a half. Hopefully for the better.
What a wonderful list of inspirations, though. I love it. And I have to check out this show you mentioned, this four-person musical. That sounds amazing.
Oh, The Ghost Quartet. Yeah, it was written by the same composer writer who did Natasha Pierre and the Great Comet of 1812. I think his name is David, or maybe I can't remember his name, but he's really amazing musician. I'm blanking, but The Ghost Quartet was a really beautiful little kind of microcosm of this, you know, dark tragic story. And that was that happened to be, and I think it came out around 2013 or 14. It was a big inspiration as we began to think about this story.
Very cool. Well, I know you've been very busy getting ready for the opening, if you will, of The Poisoner, but have you had a chance to see any great theater lately that you might be able to recommend to our listeners?
Yeah, I saw a piece I really liked, A Good Day for You, Not for Me, also done by Lee Sunday Evans. I really enjoyed it. It was a single person. I don't know if you saw that. It was a single person play, which was really funky and just, I've never actually seen a single actor, especially a female actor, as a woman, seeing that actor characterize 10 different, characters was really amazing. I just saw Lawrence Fishburne's piece the other day, which was really cool. I haven't seen Oh Mary, but our everyone at rehearsal has been talking about Oh Mary. I think it's going on Broadway this summer, and I believe Lee Sunday Evans' husband was the composer for that piece. So those are a few that I've seen recently.
Amazing. Amazing. Well, let me ask you, what is your favorite part about working in the theater?
I love theater people. I'm not from theater. My husband is a filmmaker, and so I have a lot of work on films. And my day job, where I make a paycheck, is in biotech, actually. So I just love this. My stepson is in theater, and I've always been like sort of on the back end of that, sort of observing, but being in it, I actually think people who are in theater are the most modern people. They're the most progressive, forward-thinking. And I don't mean progressive like, again, politically. I mean they are what the future will be of humans, like, because they're almost more evolved in a way that's really healthy and kind of selfless and joyful and like also very raw, just the rawness and kind of vulnerability. People, oh, it's beautiful. And I love that New York, I mean, I'm from Boston, I live in Boston for my kind of daytime life. New York has so many development plays going on. I looked at theaters in Boston, and I came down to New York and pitched in theaters here. And there's just so much more happening here that I mean, it's obvious, but like, I mean, to me, I don't know, compared to perhaps just London, it might be the only comparable. I don't know. But so you just have people who are really good at what they do. I mean, Lee's amazing, but so is our stage manager. We have a stage manager who I'm just like, oh my God, this man is amazing. And, breathtaking, really, and just really good at what he does, Joe Fernandez. And we have, a whole suite of other people that are just the creative team and also the production team. It's like, people, of course, they get stressed out here and there, but oh my God, what a great community. I can't imagine a better community to be part of. I really can't.
That is a fantastic answer. I love it. And a great lead into my favorite question to ask guests, which is, what is your favorite theater memory?
Oh my gosh, my favorite theater memory. It would have to be watching the Ghost Quartet. And why it was my favorite is I had never started bawling. Like, I had, it was one of those, it was a musical. It was like sort of a modern, like, little mini opera. And which is actually why I originally wrote The Poisoner as an opera. I was sort of thinking it would be like this mini opera similar to the Ghost Quartet. But it was, how your soul feels like it's sort of being like torn out of your body. You're in the sense you're just feeling, like you're not even thinking, your brain is off, but you're just, there were these couple scenes in that play where I just was like crying, and I just was like thinking, am I crying because of myself? Am I crying for myself, or like, am I crying for the character? Like, but I was just like so identified. And you could feel, the whole audience was feeling it, and people were crying, and it was just like this really, cathartic, this catharsis, I guess, this sort of the Greek tragic catharsis. It was really powerful, and I'll never forget that. That was, it's funny you asked, I actually had not thought about that until you just asked me just now. But that was, yeah, that was really wild.
Amazing. That is a wonderful memory. Thank you so much for sharing that.
You're welcome. The other thing worth mentioning about the show is we have the talk back that we're doing, and I bring it up not really as like a pitch, but just because we happen to have some of the most amazing artists and photographers that covered the Flint water crisis. So like this weekend on Sunday, we have the guy at the Michigan NPR guy who broke the story. And then we also have this photographer from Magnum Photos. I don't know if you know Magnum, but they're just like this really wonderful organization. They do a lot of like photojournalism and they're worldwide. And his name is Matt Black. And he took some of the most, what I think are the most powerful photos about Flint. And so when you enter in the downstairs at La Mama, we actually have this whole entry sequence where you come in and you're sort of like immersed in this photography and this kind of whole story of what actually happened in Flint. And then we have these talk backs with those guys. We have a talk back with the head of the woman who ran the Natural Resources Defense Council. She's the following weekend, I think on the 14th. She ran like all of their clean water work and did a ton of work for the lead and copper rule, which is like the centerpiece of the infrastructure problem in America with water and with lead pipe. And then we also have on the third weekend a woman named Tracy Reese, who's a designer from Detroit, but she took all the plastic water bottles from Flint, or not all of them. She took, I think, 30 or 40,000 plastic water bottles, turned them into thread, and then made a whole design collection, clothing collection, using that material from those water bottles. She does work for Michelle Obama. She does work for Taylor Swift. She's a world-class designer, but she's also from Detroit, and she has a collection. She basically made this collection about Flint, and it's like sort of the phoenix rising from the ashes. It's what comes out of a tragedy like this. More awareness, changes in government rules. Biden has now passed the infrastructure bill, so we have billions of dollars to fix our infrastructure from the 50s, and it hasn't been changed since then. And then we have this artistic work, and those are all, we're trying to sort of like weave that into the bigger theater story.
That is also wonderful. I love some great points being brought up there. So thank you for that. Well, my final question for our interview today is if our listeners would like more information about the poisoner or about you, perhaps they'd like to reach out to you, how can they do so?
Well, my email is Maura, it's like Laura with an M, MAURA at uncommonproductions.com. And on our website, the production company, our production company, uncommonproductions.com, has information on the poisoner that will live much longer than the information that will be on La Mama's site. But in the next 3 weeks, there's also, tickets and stuff like that that can be bought on La Mama. But yeah, the kind of uncommonproductions.com is the longer. We have an Instagram account. I can't remember. I think it's the poisoner. I can't remember the Instagram, but it's on our website. So it's on the uncommon site under our theater section.
Wonderful. Well, Maura, thank you so much for taking the time to stop by and sharing this incredible piece with us. This, like I keep saying, this important and timely piece with us. I really appreciate your time today.
You're super kind, and I'll look forward to doing more listening on the Andrew Cortez and Hope Bird, brain in the future. And I just think it's so great that you're covering all this, new theater, new work, and what a cool thing to be doing. So thank you for that.
Thank you so much. We appreciate that. My guest today has been the amazing playwright Maura Haney, whose show, The Poisoner, is playing April 6th through the 21st at La Mama Theater. You can get your tickets and more information by visiting lamama.org. We also have some contact information for our guests. that we'll be posting on our episode description as well as on our social media posts. But make sure you get your tickets now. Get on the ground level of this amazing production. It's happening April 6th through the 21st at La Mama Theater. And the show, once again, is The Poisoner. So until next time, I'm Andrew Cortez, reminding you to turn off your cell phones, unwrap your candies, and keep talking about the theater.
In a stage whisper.
Thank you.
If you like what you hear, please leave a 5-star review, like, and subscribe.
You can also find us on Facebook and Instagram at Stage Whisper Pod.
And feel free to reach out to us with your comments and personal stories at stagewhisperpod@gmail.com.
And be sure to check out our website for all things Stage Whisper and theater. You'll be able to find merchandise, tours, tickets, and more. Simply visit stagewhisperpod.com. Our theme song is Maniac by Jazzar. Other music on this episode provided by Jazzar and Billy Murray. You can also become a patron of our show by logging on to patreon.com/stagewhisperpod. There you will find all the information about our backstage pass as well as our tip jar. Thank you so much for your generosity. We could not do this show without you.